Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time! With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
It's time.
From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China and back to the streets of Paris, France, the city of love where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is This Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry, because we will voice it for you. We talk about everything on This Time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, entertainment, politics, film, TV. And today we're going to be talking about none other than the contender, the man who's back, the man who's here, the most handsome man in the UFC, who just fought the other most handsome man in the UFC, the War of the Adonises, won by none other than the Eraser, Paulo Costa. Paulo, how are you, my friend? How are you?
My big friend, I'm amazing. How are you? Thank you for asking.
I'm very, very good. I see you're there with your coach, Captain Aris. Aris, or Captain, whatever we're going to call. You're a hell of a coach, by the way, Captain, because you'll drive up in a Rolls Royce, get out, and start training people. I don't know any other trainer of MMA fighters that has the pizzazz and the prestige that you bring forth all the time. It's very enjoyable to watch, my friend. Very enjoyable.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Paulo?
Yeah.
Two losses. You come off a big win against Romero. Then you come off the two, you know, losses, which I know affected you as it would anybody. And you come back with a battle of the battles against Luke Rockholder. Let's give Luke a lot of credit, man. He was in there, hanging in there strong and tough. The first couple rounds, you know, the kicks you were taking, everything was happening. At any point in the fight, especially during the first and second round, I wasn't in tune with what your corner was telling you, but did you feel you were ahead, behind? Did you feel like you needed that direction from your corner, or did you know exactly what you were doing the whole time, Paulo?
No, I got a lot of direction from my corner. My corner was amazing, giving me the best instruction all the time. And as you well said, we need to do some credit to Luke Rockhold. I need to give to him a lot of credit. You know, he came prepared for a war.
Yep.
I think this long time out of the cage make very, very, very good to him. I think he could took a good, very good shot, very hard shot on his head and his body as well. And he's still there fighting, you know, putting a lot desire to fight. You know, he came with a big heart and he stayed there, man. I really appreciate that because it was a very, very tough war to me.
Yep.
And he did very well. Me too, as well, of course.
No, of course, Paulo. You came out with the W. You came out with the win. In those first couple rounds, he was throwing a lot of kicks at you. A lot of front kicks, a lot of roundhouse kicks. A lot of those kicks could be heard through the entire arena, as well as your kicks on him and your punches. At any time, did any of those kicks could look like Rockhold was very well affected by you in the first round? It also seemed that due to the altitude, and TJ, step in if you think, and also you too, Aris, that he started to gas because of the altitude.
I thought watching the second round that you had broken his nose in the first round because he was breathing out of his mouth. And he was doing something very dangerous, I think, as a fighter, at least when I used to bang, I would never do, is roll your mouthpiece around in your mouth. Right? That tells me two things. A, he's gassing. B, I know it's a habit of his, but it also tells me that his mouthpiece is not properly fitted for his mouth because that should be tight up there, protecting you. And when you pop a guy like that, if that's in the wrong position, you're going to break his jaw, right? Yeah. Found that to be very dangerous. When you saw that as a fighter, not that you want to hurt the other man. I know you. You're a nice man, yeah. Paulo. But yeah. When it's time to fight, the shark eyes come in and you have to do what you have to do. But when you see a man doing that, if I saw that, I'm going at him, right? Did you get that feeling a little bit? Did that occur to you?
Yeah, you are perfect. You are very right. I think the same way is so dangerous when, as you say, when the guy put the mouthpiece out of, you know, on the right place, is so dangerous, so yes. Dangerous. And, oh, sorry, somebody's knocking the door.
That's okay.
Because this is a hotel. We are on the hotel here on Las Vegas. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I was a little bit.
No, take your time.
Well, let's actually go back and talk a little bit about the fight, Paulo, because this was a fight where, I mean, Luke is a phenomenal fighter, and what you did to him is a big statement on where you rank in the middleweight ranks here. Were you surprised that he was not going away, though? Because it seemed like there was blood in the water, but his heart was so big, he was hard to finish.
Yeah, he was very hard to finish. I could not finish the fight, you know, Sorry, guys. Sorry, Mr. Bruce. Your question about his kicks. I remember now what you
go ahead.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, he kicked very well. Everybody knows that. I trained. I was prepared for that. I was worried about his left kicks with his left legs. He kicked very quickly, fast, and powerful. But when I got his first kick and I broke it with my arm and he kicked on my elbow, I didn't feel pain. So I relaxed a little bit. So I say, okay, come on, you can kick out one more time. And he kicked it twice and he kicked it four times, you know, straight. One, two, three, four times. And of course, it's not good to get some hard kicks like he has, but I didn't feel a lot of pain and didn't hit my ribs or my liver. So I felt well. So did not affect me too much. But the fact is, on Salt Lake City, we has altitude, and altitude affect everybody at the same form, I think, you know. But the problem to that fight in Luke Rockhold case is because I put him down on the very beginner. So you need to handle if a half guy inside you, not above you, on the very first round, you know, and you need to get out. But the guy in the case was me, push his ribs and Gustel and his liver so hard that I did make the everything worse. And as you say, Bruce Buffer, I broke his nose on the beginner. So mm-hmm. He started to bleed a lot and cover his mouth. That's why I think he put the mouthpiece a little bit to try breathe more air inside. Right. So that was the worst condition for a guy on altitude. A lot breathe, your nose broken. Maybe he could not breathe by nose, just for mouth, and the, you know, and out blood side. So, and he was under me. So, man, I need to give a lot credit because I thought he was give up on the first round because I was punched so hard. He was so tired, but he came on the second one, and I tried to finish the fight. I called him, and I thought, okay, I am winner this fight for the first and second. I will try finish on the third round. He was so tired, but every time that I close the fight, I try to go inside, you know, make the distance over. He throws some very dangerous punch and kicks. So sometimes he got me, and I say, okay, this guy is still dangerous, you know. So I need to be a little bit conservative.
Yeah. Hey, but like a Wolverine in the corner, a guy like Luke Rockhold, as well as yourself, is always going to be dangerous. And in the final, you know, seconds of that fight, I don't know what his motivation was. And Eric, you saw this too. You know what I'm going to say? When he was rubbing all his blood all over your face, it was almost like he was giving you kisses at the end of the fight with his face. I've never, ever... TJ, have you ever seen that? I've never seen that.
No.
Like, it was just purposeful. And I don't know whether it was his last reaction to like, hey, you know, this has been a war, and so here, feel the war. You know, whatever his motivation was, but it was interesting, to say the least. How did you feel about that at that moment when he's just rubbing his blood on your face, Paulo?
Yeah, was a weird moment. In fact, when I was fighting there, I didn't see exactly what's going on. I just felt something on my face, Bruce.
Yeah.
But I was worried on block his hands and elbows to not hit me. I was just feeling on that, you know, I cannot let him hit me with elbows and punch because
right.
He's right now. But after the fight, of course, I saw this scene a couple of times, and I have a feeling maybe he was a little bit frustrated, maybe he was a little bit angry, sad, you know, because he knows he was lost that fight, and he was motivated to that fight, to fight me, because he really believed if he could beat me, he would get a chance to fight for a title shot. So that's why he put a lot effort, muito empenho, como se fala?
Empenho?
É, muita força, muito trabalho.
He worked hard for that.
He worked very hard for
that. He worked hard for that, Paulo, because, you know, obviously this fight to Luke meant either make or break. In other words, if he won the fight, he was going to go forward. If he lost the fight, it was probably on his mind that he was going to retire. Even more so when he realized how he was gassing and the way he looked during the fight, which I'm not criticizing him for, because he's fighting the best of the best. You're fighting the best of the best, and you're fighting at a very high altitude. Always a very compelling, dangerous, and difficult thing to do.
Hey, so real quick, Bruce, on that tip, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're talking about the altitude.
I want to get in on it
before we move too far past it. I mean, obviously, the altitude goes both ways, but I'm curious, Paulo, had this fight taken place at sea level, would it have looked much different? Do you feel like you could have gotten a stoppage had it been not at altitude?
Yeah, I felt a little bit heavy. You know, I felt that you'd be tired after the first round, more than common, you know, more than the normally I could feel. So I think if this fight happened on the sea level, the fight would be more active, you know, more action.
Yeah,
for both parts, not only me, but Luke Rockhold will be more active as well. You know, move a little bit more. You know, attack a little bit more, because when you feel okay, my gas tank is not normally. I cannot, you know, try too much, because I don't know. Maybe I try and I could not finish. So guess what? I will be on gas tank out. You know. Amped,
right?
So yeah, but if you could guys put the scene that he tried to put his blood on my face and something like that, I'd like to make some addiction here. Maybe it's a little poetic scene, you know, like I can see on this point of view, like an old lion, you know, pass for the young lion. Okay, it's your time.
Right.
It's the time for you.
It's the old lion time to go retire.
It's the passing of the guard, if you will. Passing of the torch.
It's the passing of the guard. Yeah. That's what we call it. Exactly. Called passing of the guard.
I can tell you that the crowd loved it. When they started doing that last 10 seconds, the crowd erupted when he started doing it, and it was either, you know, it could have been like, I got to make him look bad for the best-looking fighter award. Let me put something on his face. Or, you know, just going out with a bang, being a little frustrated and be like, I'm going to put this blood on your face.
Right.
The saying goes, Eric, it made for good TV. Let's put it that way.
If it bleeds, it reads.
Yep. Good one. There you go. Totally. Paulo, it was very nice to talk to your lady, Tamara, who's your manager now, right? Yeah. Is the beautiful Tamara there with you?
Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Tamara. Bon dia.
Bon dia.
Tutto ben?
Tutto ottimo.
Fantastic. Obrigado.
Loves you, Bruce.
I love the way you two are. I mean, the beautiful couple you are together 10 years, right? 10 years. And now that she's working with you in management, it's a match made in heaven. I love it. Many people would have difficulty working with the girlfriends or their wives in a management capacity. So if it's going smooth, which it appears to be very, very smooth, more power to you. I think it's amazing. And it's a definite compliment on your relationship with the woman you love, who you once told me that you would propose to, but not until you're the champion, right? I think you said you wanted to fight for the championship, and that would be the time to make the proposal. So can't wait to get on one knee in the octagon after having the belt wrapped around you, Paulo. That could be like one of the most amazing things in the world.
Yeah,
I'll hold your ring for you. I'll hand it to you after I announce you. I'll give you the ring to give to your girl.
We'd be amazing because you are a great vision. Icon, and let's see if I have this opportunity. It would be amazing. Tamara deserved. I love her. She is amazing. She helped me a lot.
I need to
give the credit for her because she helped me a lot. And sometimes she don't show up, but she's still there working.
Yeah. Always there in spirit, Paulo. Always there in spirit. Somebody else now that I know is always there in spirit for you is my beautiful little mama, Connie, who sent you that video. TJ, it's so cute. I know you have the video and you're going to show it, but Mama Buffer and her Paulo Costa t-shirt, sending him a video before he fights. I didn't even ask her to do that, Paulo. She sent that to me to send to you. And then you so wonderfully after the fight, we meet after the fight and you send the beautiful video to her. My mom's 94, Paulo. You light up her life. Thank you so much for being the good man that you are. It's very, very special to me and extremely special to her.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce. This is the first sort of fighter that she's ever been a fan like this of, right? Like all the years you've been in the octagon, Paulo Costa is the first person that she's like actually fanned out for.
Absolutely true. And there's only one other person that she showed an admiration for is Herb Dean. And when Herb Dean came over, he went down to visit her house, right? So she's always asking, and he talks to her. And Paulo was over my house for some business and personal, like, enjoyment one day. And we took a drive down to little mama's house and just lit up her life. So thank you, Paulo, for bringing that kind of love and joy into my beautiful mom's life and vice versa.
You don't need to say thank you. This all truly feelings because I got really emotional when I talk about this because senior people like your mom, 94 years old, and kids are so verdadeiros. Como é que fala? As pessoas são tão verdadeiras, crianças and seniors.
True.
They are so true. They not show fake emotion, you know. Right. So when she loves you,
genuine.
It's genuine. Yeah, thank you, Cap.
Genuine.
When these people like you, they really like you. When they don't like you, they don't need to show a fake know,
right. Yep.
Feelings. They are true. So that's why this taught my heart so deep. I got emotional.
Oh, it's beautiful, Paulo. Thank you. No, it's beautiful. I'm the same way, Paulo.
I don't like Bruce. When I go to California and Los Angeles, I will let you know because I'd like to see her again.
I would love that. Absolutely. We'll go out to lunch and we'll go visit her, or maybe we'll take her out to lunch. That's the date, Paulo. You got it. No question.
This is what I love about mixed martial arts, guys, is like, who does this in any other sport? No one's really doing this. The athletes of the UFC are you know, on a different sort of pedestal. But also, Paulo, you talk about the true emotion. That's what we want as fight fans. We just want real, authentic people. And the fact that you're able to talk like this, I think that lends your personality to just average, everyday people. And I think it's appreciated by many.
Yeah, man. I you know, we are humans, just humans. On my humble vision, the most tough sports on the world. But you are still human, you know, and you have a feelings. And I think the feelings, like a love, is not a weak point on us. I think this can be a very strong point. If you use this on the right way, to give you more energy, to give you more desire, because when I fight on the cage, I don't fight just to myself. I fight for a lot of people that I love, for my family, for my fans, for the Bruce Buff mom, because these people really love you, you know. And when he showed me his picture with the shirt with my face, man, was amazing to me. This makes sense on the end, you know.
Thank you, Paulo. Thank you for being the man that you are. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Paulo. You know, we go from a moment like that. I want to think about your future. Your right hand has a cast on it. You showed it to me. Okay, what's the diagnosis on your hand? What's your suspension? Oh, yeah. Are you suspended, and why, and how long?
Yes, Bruce. I'm here in Vegas just to visit the doctor, Dr. D from UFC. You know him.
Oh, Dr. Jeff, yeah.
Jeff. He's amazing, and he's care very well about me, about my hand, and not this injury only, but when I got injury on my left biceps, he helped me a lot. I was there in Los Angeles. And I trust on him. And I came here to see the doctor to the last view on my hand. This was a little bit swelling, so the x-ray was not so accurate. But now we will see the doctor again. But it's very probably then I broke my hand on the fight.
I'd rather you break your hand then screw up the tendons and the ligaments in your hand. The break will heal much faster.
Yes, I think it's just the bone.
Right.
What's better? What's better? Because the tendon and ligaments need more time to heal.
More time. Bone. Yeah.
Bone is more fast. So I did MRI as well. MRI was good. And as you say, MRI shows the tendon and ligament was very well, but the bone, we're not sure. We need to do one more.
Right.
To make sure that just the bone broken, but this is like a 6 weeks out punch. So I'd like to come back to fight very soon, like 50 days, 60 days to keep my body very active. But if I fracture my hand, my bone hand, maybe I could fight again on December or January.
Yeah, that stands to reason. The ligaments will take much longer. A lot of times fighters get back into fighting before they're fully healed with ligament and tendon damage. Therefore, the effect bothers you forever, right? Yeah. This way with the bone, heal it 100%. I always say this to fighters, 100%. 2 months, you're healed. Go back into training. You can fight by the end of the year. Because we all want to see you fight by the end of the year. So the question is, who are you going to fight by the end of the year, Paulo? What is the fight of choice for Paulo? And Eric, what do you think the fight they're going to give him is?
Well, you know, I like an option is Blond Brunson. That's one.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be, we've been talking about him going to Paris and being present for the Vettori versus Whitaker, that co-main event of the UFC in Paris. That would be something that him fighting the winner of that as well.
That's the fight I see. So I say, get your buns in Paris, Paulo. Sit on the sideline, let them put your face on the screen, titillate the fans. Let me tell you something about Paris, guys. That arena is 15,000 to 17,000 people, right? Sold out. There were 204,000 requests for tickets, right? The most ever in the history of the UFC, the most ever for any city around the world was this Paris show. It's going to be electric. So if you get to go to the Paris, take beautiful tomorrow and go have a nice time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce. I think mixed martial arts was illegal for the longest time in France as well. So this
it just got legalized.
Yeah. So this is huge.
This is huge. We've had all these fighters coming out of France. You know, when I say check Congo, you know, obviously Ghana and Ghana. And there's more, you know, on the precipice waiting to come in. So, I mean, this is just a big fight. Big fight. Yes. I'm sure we could have got an outdoor arena, but like Dana says, and I agree, you never want to go outdoor arenas if you don't have to, because you never know what the weather's going to be like.
Right.
I did a Rumble on the Rock in Hawaii, and it rained the night of the fight, right? So you never know.
It rains every day in Hawaii.
Yeah, every day. It was just, you know, slippery surface, slippery slope. All right, well, that's good for me. I'm glad about – so suspension, they gave you what? Probably gave you a 30, 60-day suspension?
Você sabe da mais quanto tempo foi de suspensão? 30 days.
And also this weight cut that you just had too, Paulo, where past weight cuts have been like, you know, the 20 pounds in the 2 or 3 days or whatever. You seem to have the best weight cut I've seen you have getting into one of your middleweight fights. You looked like you were only 10 pounds overweight, maybe 3-4 days before the fight. I could be wrong, but you know, it's still.
Oh, you're right.
Made it. I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that harder for you to maintain your diet? That was it a hard weight cut? Easier?
Yes, Bruce. I think I got a little mature on my life, you know, and I did to make the best choice on food, you know, and keep this diet very healthy, not so restrictive, not so tough to do, but very healthy, you know. I think this is the best way to keep my weight so low and to keep on good condition. And I'm doing that very, very well, you know. I don't feel more so too much a desire to eat some bullshit, you know, and chocolate and bad fats and
sugar. Is that your weakness? Is your weakness sweets? What is your weakness, Paulo?
My weakness, yeah, sweet. Yeah.
Sweets, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
My weakness point, yeah. But I have secret juice, Bruce.
Yeah, what is a secret juice? I see the bottle. I see the secret juice.
Yeah.
What? Can you tell us what the secret juice is?
Of course I can. Of course. The secret juice is a formula that I create. I mix it, some ingredients inside there. And that really helped me to feel better, to give more energy, to recover fast. Because I mix it. A lot of ingredients. I can't say I put ginger, lemon, some roots from Brazil. So it's making my stomach and guts feeling better, you know, because it's super natural. It's, of course, it's usada approve it.
And it doesn't have any red wine in it. We know that, right?
Okay. But it goes well with Puncher's Chance.
There you go, baby. Puncher's goes well with everything. Bring on the Punchers.
This is the time of Punchers because it's time to celebrate. Yeah. but you know, I just mixed some ingredients.
Ingredients. Yeah.
Yeah.
All good. All good, Paul. Paul, you know what? You're the one that's winning. You're the one that's fighting. You're the one that's training. You do what Paul needs to do to make it all happen. Keep being the stand-up, amazing human being you are. My friend, much love to you. Much love to Tamara. Eric, always good to see you, my friend. Always good. I expect a ride in your Rolls Royce very, very soon. And with that being, all kidding aside, you know, I love your style, Eric. I love your style. Paulo, it's just a pleasure to have you on the show. And I want to thank you for being a role model in this sport. Please keep that up. Stay classy and just be the best you can be all the time. You got an amazing career ahead of you, Paulo, in more than just fighting. Play this game correctly. Your career is more than just fighting. It's up to you to figure out what I mean, but I think you understand what I mean. All right.
Rules, thank you very much. I really appreciate you. You're a real friend as mine. I remember that you told me, and I never forget that. You know, keep on good way, class, and I am trying, you know, be a very nice guy as you are. Okay. And you are how is it?
Role model.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Paulo. Thank you. And, appreciate that.
You asking me about the foods and my weakness on diet. I would say ice cream is very well as well. I like too much ice cream, and I was figuring to do something with Patty Pimblett. Do you know him?
With who now?
With Patty. Patty the Batty.
Oh, with Pat, you do something with Patty. What, like eat with Patty?
Yeah, I'd like to celebrate, eat some ice cream for him just for the last time, you know, after, because he won, I won. So I'd like to do some meme competition, some ice cream competition with him. I think would be nice. And if you would like to be on this, just announcement me.
Oh,
I'll
announce it. Of course I will.
Yes. Yeah. By phone or video conference like this, will be amazing, Bruce.
Three rounds in the ice cream eating championship of the world. No, I got it.
Oh,
let's do it.
We need to make that happen. Yeah. I think Patty the Batty would be a middleweight when that contest is over.
Weight's gonna be gained. No, that sounds very cool. Keep me in the circle for that one. I'm there, Paul.
Of course. But after this, Patty, we'll come back to diet and start cutting weight. As soon as possible.
Sounds good. Let's get the video file recording the whole thing from beginning to end. So all good.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Paul. Paul, obrigado. You know, have a great day. Thank you so much, Eric, Tamara. Thank you so much. I will see you. Hopefully, I'll see you next week in Paris.
Okay. Tamara.
Oh, look at that. There she is. Hi, Tamara.
Hello.
Very comfortable. What hotel are you at? Where are you at? What hotel?
Which hotel is this, Mary?
Town place.
It's not so.
No, it looks nice.
Yeah. Mick Maynard's here. Mick Maynard's Nelk Boys, all guys.
Did you hear what happened to Mick Maynard down in Salt Lake City? He was walking with his buddy right in front of the hotel, and they jumped him and knocked out his buddy and attacked him.
What? Yeah. Really?
Oh, you didn't hear this, TJ?
No. I mean, Salt Lake City is like a crime-free city, too. That's crazy.
There was a couple of interesting experiences I had there. It really threw me back a little bit. And a beautiful city, no question. Great fans, the whole bit. But Mick Maynard was walking into the hotel, right in front of the hotel, with one of his friends, a big guy, right? Yes. And one of our production team.
Wow.
And they walked up behind him, supposedly three guys and a girl. Slugged him, knocked him out, face down on the asphalt, knocked out, continued to punch him. The girls kicking him in the back, yelling at him. They push Maynard against the glass. Security comes out. They all escape. They all get away. But right at the valet section in front of the
That's crazy. They're lucky Paulo Costa wasn't out there to erase all of them.
Yeah. That's right, Paul. You and I would have taken care of business. Saved their butts.
Of course. Just call me, Bruce, please.
I know you got that big S on your chest when you pull that out. I know it's there. All right, Paulo. Listen, have a great day. Tamara, you take care. Eric, always a pleasure, all right?
My pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much.
Obrigado.
When you call us, I'll be able to hear. It's a such pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Paulo. My phone is always open. You too, my friend. Big cheers, no fears forever, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Buff. Paulo Costa. One of the sweetest, most scariest men in the world, I think.
If you ever had a definition of a big teddy bear, there he is.
Ferocious and cuddly all ferocious, at the same time.
Cuddly, handsome, the Adonis of the UFC, let's just face it.
And
it's
just
the
a
reality
sweet, sweet guy. You know, he's just a genuine human being.
Even the way he talks about his girlfriend, Tamara, and how she takes care of him, too. I mean, it's very hard to have a relationship where the woman is your manager. I mean, that can create a lot of issues,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If it works for them, all the more power to them. But the fact he's been with her for 10 years, the fact, as the saying goes, that he could probably go out there and play the game with any girl he wants in the world, you know, with his looks and his night. But he stays loyal to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I find that to be beautiful. I think that's amazing. And he's told us on the show before, he is going to ask her to marry him when he wins the championship. And if, God forbid, he does not win the championship, I'm sure he's going to ask her to marry him.
And,
so,
and that's the thing, too. We live in a different society now where, you know, I feel like everyone thought you had to get married. Or, you know, when you got married, your relationship was taken to another level. But if you've been with someone for a decade, like, you don't really need that piece of paper to prove that you're committed to one another. So, to me, I kind of like the idea that, you know, he's waiting for that right moment. He wants to win that championship and sort of celebrate it in that way. But it doesn't matter. They're obviously committed to one another, you know, inside and outside of this business. And it's, like you said, while it's working, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, if your relationship is solid, you love each other, I mean, marriage certificate is just a sheepskin on the wall.
Yeah, it's just a tax write-off.
Well, there's more to it than that, but absolutely, you're absolutely correct.
I mean,
sure.
So my wife and I, we bought a house before we got married. And I mean, like when people are like, oh, are you getting nervous to get married? I was like, no, man. Like if we broke up today, it would be just as messy as if we were getting a divorce because we owned a house together. So it was like, you know, that getting married had nothing to do with anything about, you know, taking our relationship to the next level.
No, but again, you know, what's yours is yours, right?
And what's mine is yours too?
Yeah, but you know, that's from the point of being married on. Then usually, at least in California, it's a 50-50 split. But you know, what's yours is yours, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting the better end of that 50-50 split, let me tell you.
Well, speaking of somebody who's not getting the better end of it, I don't know if you heard about this. Sylvester Stallone's wife has filed for divorce.
Really?
She filed for divorce. I don't know exactly the reasoning about it. Something about, where was it right here? I'll get to that in a second. I got it right here, but something about he was selling possessions of theirs, and he actually had a tattoo. What is with my? He actually had a tattoo of his wife's face on his shoulder.
Okay.
Right. He removed it, and he had his dog Butkus. He had it written over or inked over, according to this article.
Wow.
My computer's.
I mean, that's kind of a statement, man. You know, like I've been accused of loving my dog more than my wife from time to time. But you do something like that, it's pretty hard to deny.
I agree. I don't know what the reasoning is, but it is what it is.
There's
got
to be more to it. That's just the straw that broke the back, you know?
It was just saying something about how he's moving around marital assets, whatever that means.
That's sketchy, man.
All right, here it is.
How long have they been married, does it say?
Oh, 25 years.
Wow.
25 years.
It's not like this, like, you know, quick fling thing or anything.
No. He's been with Jennifer Flavin for 25 years, two beautiful daughters. There's really, again, not much to happen here. It's just she believes Sly was hiding marital assets, according to the divorce docs, where he was engaged in, they claim, intentional dissipation, depletion, and or waste of marital assets, which would have an adverse economic effect on the marital estate.
So I wonder if she thinks that he's hiding something more. Like, why would he do this?
Well, she's trying to enjoin him. She wants to be compensated and may hold by receiving what they call unequal distribution of the marital assets in her favor.
Right.
Moreover, she's trying to enjoin him from being able to sell, transfer, assign, encumber, or dissipate any assets during this proceedings process. So the way I'm reading this, and again, I don't like speculating on other people's situations, but I guess I am when I say this. Something's been going on here. They've been planning on getting divorced and probably, you know, depleting certain things. And he took it a little farther than she wanted. Now she's trying to stop it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I definitely know that my wife has too many things. And sometimes I want to grab those things and bring them to the Goodwill. But yeah. I don't, because it would ultimately end in me getting a divorce.
Well, another one that's out of the new, we'll see what happens there, because we can only comment beyond a certain point. I just hate to see people together for so long and what seems so like a wonderful marriage get divorced.
And that's why, Bruce, it seems like it's more than just this. You know what I mean? Like, this is just.
Oh, of course. Yeah. 25 years? Of course. Of course. Yeah.
My wife is addicted to Halloween and Christmas, and she keeps buying these Halloween and Christmas decorations. Like, my entire garage, it's full of Halloween and Christmas decorations.
She's a Halloween and Christmas hoarder.
Yeah. No, it's bad. It's like really bad.
By the way, your beard looks good.
Oh yeah, you like that? It's like gray, it. Man.
You can't see the gray. It's coming through dark. I like it. It gives you a nice look. I like it.
I appreciate it. I mean, it's sheer laziness, Bruce. It's not a look that I'm really going for. I just haven't shaved, but by the time I was finally able to grow in a somewhat full beard, it's lost most of its color.
Well, you know, sometimes laziness and by chance creates a warranted situation. So I'm telling you, it looks good.
Well, I appreciate it. You got to bring that stash back.
No.
Come on.
No.
For Movember. Come on.
Nope.
But I mean, most people don't look good in mustaches, but
I don't mind.
You got a killer stash.
I was told O'Brien grew one. It looks great, but no, the stash has been retired forever. But thank you very much. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, my old neighbor and very well-known actor, Oscar-winning actor, Gary Busey.
Yep.
Remember Gary Busey?
Mm-hmm.
78 years old, DJ. Wow. And now he faces sex offense charges due to an action he did at the Monster Mania convention in New Jersey. As a result of the investigation, the Cherry Hill Police Department charged him with two counts of fourth-degree criminal sexual assault, one count of criminal attempt, criminal sexual assault, and one count of harassment. So now the Oscar-winning actor for the Buddy Holly story is now under this investigation. It came out yesterday that, and again, this is just the speculation, supposedly he grabbed a woman's buttocks and unpinned the back of her bra.
Wow.
Which you don't do.
No, it's horribly inappropriate.
If that's what happens. So, and Gary, just amazing, you know, the tail end of your, or the end of your career and everything. And I don't get it, but you know what, again, alleged, it's there, it's in the news. It's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
See how it checks out. Do you remember this plane that began to descend a rural, two pilots fell asleep with the automatic pilot on the airplane? Did you hear about that?
So, I mean, this is not a new story. There are multiple times that this has happened. I remember there was a flight from San Diego to Minneapolis, and the pilots apparently, like, just got off their radio for more than 20 minutes and flew way past the Minneapolis airport before coming back on the radio and turning around. And there was some belief that they had fallen asleep. They begged to differ and said that they just got caught up in a conversation with one another. But I mean, if you've ever flown private, or if you've ever flown where they let you listen to the air traffic controllers on one of the frequencies in the airplane radio, like, they're constantly checking in. It's not something where they ever go 10, 20 minutes without checking in with, air traffic control and, you know, making modifications or reporting turbulence and things like that. So
it's got to be protocol.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're flying and you're not on radar or not on your radio for more than 10 or 15 minutes, like, something is clearly gone wrong. And I mean, I get it. Was this flight like an overnight flight? Was it one that they thought that the pilots were impaired or tired in any way?
It was Ethiopian Airlines. So it's probably a long flight. So I don't have the details on it. Probably a long flight.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's probably regional flights there.
Oh, let's see. Two pilots have lead in the sleep, missing the landing. Sudan to Ethiopia.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, geographically speaking, but did the plane land and everything, or what happened?
Yeah, it landed okay. It landed okay. So,
yeah, because the autopilot, I mean, those, like, I remember talking to a pilot one time on a plane. He was sitting next to me on a deadhead leg, and he said that his job was to fly planes from Los Angeles to Tokyo. And he right. said he flies the plane for the first 1,000 feet up off the runway, and he gets control of the plane again at 1,000 feet before they touch down on the runway. And he said, other than that, it's all autopilot.
I believe it. But, you know, with the situation pilots and, you know, that whatever's going on with the COVID-related thing to the airline industry, the flights being canceled, the pilots maybe being overworked. This is being, according to the article, pilot exhaustion is an ongoing thing. So
yeah, and I've heard, too, that the FAA is starting to crack down on some of these airlines because the airlines are selling tickets to flights that they really have no intention of keeping. They just get these people to, you know, pay for the ticket, and then they already have them in the system, so you just try to rebook them, but you still make the money from getting them to buy a flight, which that's shady to me. Could you imagine, you know, booking your travel because you need to be at a place at a certain time and come to find out that they had no intention of actually getting you there in that schedule?
It's especially shady at the fact that you pay for the ticket and their protocol for their airline is that they don't give you back the money, but you get to keep the credit for a future ticket. That's just creating cash flow for the airline industry.
Right.
So there's something definitely wrong with that when and if that's the case. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, I've been on some crazy flights since COVID started. I've been on flights where it's like me and four other people on a huge Airbus. I've also been on flights that are completely oversold. So it seems like it's either or at this point. Like there's not enough people on your plane or too many people on your plane.
I'm with you. Speaking of too many people on the plane, this is something I haven't heard of for a while, switching subject here, but a rural Florida postal worker, 61 years old, right? Their vehicle broke down, according to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. So they heard the woman scream for help. When they went out to see her, she was attacked by 5 dogs, TJ.
Wow.
And she died.
Were they wild dogs or?
Nope. The dogs were back at their owner's property. By the time the deputies arrived, the dogs were back at their owner's property. The postal carrier was on the ground, bleeding severely. They brought in the rescue units, transferred to a hospital, then flown to a trauma center. Didn't make it. More than 5,400 postal workers were attacked by dogs in the United States in 2021 of the ones that were reported. Florida was 5,400.
Wow. That's a lot.
And Florida is one of the top 10 states for dog bites with 201 incidents reported last year. Whatever the reasoning is, maybe they don't like humidity or whatever. I'm just making a bad joke. But these were – what's going to happen to these dogs now is they're probably going to be euthanized.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I don't know if you have another option. I mean, the fact that they were aggressive, I mean, what are you going to do?
The owner relinquished custody of the dogs. They will be euthanized humanely, according to the sheriff's office. For sure, they're not going to let them live.
Yeah, no. I mean, they have an aggressive streak.
Yep.
To say the least, you know. So.
Now, speaking of aggressive, a few things here. I talked about biblical the climate and stuff being like biblical and what's happening, you know, lately, right? And I'll give you another couple more examples. Would you believe that dinosaur tracks have emerged in Texas, right, from 113 million years ago at the Dinosaur Valley State Park? And the reason why is because of the drought conditions. They've dried up the river and they're seeing all these things coming up. You know, just
I'd be curious, like, are they fossilized? Like, how does that work?
It can't be loose dirt.
It can't be loose track.
It says tracks that have been uncovered and discovered at different parts of the river that belong to Acrocanthosaurus, Canthosaurus, which is a dinosaur as an adult that stood about 15 tall and close to, 7 tons.
Yeah.
15 tall and 7 tons. The other one they found was a Sauroposeidon. I've never heard of that dinosaur. 60 feet tall,
Jesus.
Weighing 44 tons.
Yeah,
it's amazing how they... Oh, they got pictures of it here. They're just like fossilized okay. in the ground.
Yeah.
Literally embedded in the riverbed. In the riverbed. It's amazing how they can decipher this. Oh, look, yeah, it definitely looks like a dinosaur.
You know,
it's got the three big things.
I don't want to speak for him, but I think Eddie Bravo thinks that dinosaurs aren't real.
Eddie, conspiracy theory.
I think maybe it's not that, but he definitely said, like, you know how you go to the museum and they have the dinosaur bones there? And, like, the skeleton? He's like, that's not real. They're all not right. the real bones, which he might be right. Because, I mean, if you have bones that are worth millions of dollars, are you necessarily going to put them on display when you can just make plastic casts?
A lot of times what they do, though, is they'll have those bones, but they'll man-make other bones that connect them to create the entire figure.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that respect, he's partially right, but he's not fully right.
No. I mean, also, too, like, just think about, like, what we've learned about dinosaurs in the last 20 or 30 years. Like, I mean, since I was in elementary school to now, somehow dinosaurs got feathers. They believe that dinosaurs were bird-like in many ways.
They're going to find out more and more and more as time goes on. Another thing they're going to find out, too, is that I may say the name Danube River. Excuse me. At least it's not a fighter I'm announcing. Mm. The Danube River, you know, Europe's in the worst drought in years, okay?
Yeah.
But it's pushed by the large river, the Danube, which is at one of its lowest levels in almost a century, which as a result is exposing hulks of dozens, not just one, dozens of explosive-laden German warships that were sunk during World War II near Serbia's river town port of Prahovo, right? Yeah. So not just one or two, and they're showing pictures here, and the ships are filled with explosives that can still go off.
You know, that's one thing that we've learned, you know, over the years. First off, is there's, you know, unexploded weaponry, munitions, right? Everywhere, it seems like, in Europe from World War II. But, you know, we've seen this stateside as well in Lake Mead. Like, when the water goes away, you see some stories that haven't been told or thought of in many years. And it's crazy.
In that case, you're talking about, like, casino days and, you know, hello.
I'm not saying anything necessarily.
I'm not saying anything either, but I said it.
You know, I mean, I'm going to think twice if anybody ever asks me if I want to go take a trip out to Lake Mead when I'm visiting Las Vegas. I'll be like, is this a fun experience, or are you trying to tell me something?
Well, consider that, too, if you ever think about going to China again. China now has just released a new potentially fatal Lanja, not COVID, L-A-N-G-Y-A, Lanja virus detected, which has caused for alarm overseas. They discovered this potentially fatal virus within its borders. It's always this. Predicting it could trigger another pandemic. It's already affected 35 people, which reminds me of 3 years ago when you heard about the 30 or so people affected with COVID. It's in the same family as the Hendra virus and the Nipah virus. I have no idea which one of those friggin' viruses is.
Let me say this, Bruce, and this is why I was sort of dismissive of COVID when it first came up on this show. By the way, you're the first person that ever said the word COVID to me.
Yeah.
I tended to just sort of think it wasn't a big deal because we hear a lot about these flu viruses and things like that. They could all, like, I mean, you remember bird flu, SARS,
all that stuff,
H1N1, swine flu. Yeah. Like, we've heard this story dozens of times in our life, and they never really get to obviously the levels that COVID did. But again, I will never say don't worry about it, Bruce, because my foot was shoved so far down my throat that I can never really be, you know, taken seriously again on that subject. But I hear about these stories and I'm like, okay, let's, you know, pay attention to it, but let's not say the sky is falling quite yet.
Right. Okay. I'm with you on that. I'll take that. So we'll keep it on that one note right there.
Bottom line is though, Bruce, I'm wearing a mask every time I get on a flight. I'm masking up because it's crazy. Again, the numbers are ticking up and it just won't go away.
I'm masking up. I'm going to fly to Paris next week. And trust me, I'm definitely masking up.
That's one thing I actually enjoy about the pandemic is the idea that, you know, because, again, you're supposed to wear a mask to not get other people sick. It's not that you're not going to get sick by wearing a mask. It's that you're hoping that your germs don't get passed on to anybody else. And this has been a custom in Asian countries for decades. And that's one thing I think we do need to do as a society, embrace it, is if you have a runny nose or you're not feeling well, you should mask up for just, you know, courtesy of others.
Well, just on one note here, this thing is a 40-75% fatality rate.
Oh, my God.
40-75%. That's the Hennepiris Hennepa virus. So now we have COVID, monkeypox, and Lonja. The saying goes, oh, my, where are we going next?
I don't know, Buffer. That's the thing, too, that's sort of alarming about this is, you know, COVID was obviously bad. Millions of people died, but it was a relatively low fatality rate. I'm worried about the next time we have a pandemic and an outbreak, if it's going to be as forgiving.
Movies come true. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
We will see.
That's true.
That's all I want to say. Michael Jordan's game-worn jersey from his last NBA Finals hitting the auction block. Okay, TJ, as usual, how much do you think?
Did the flu game just sell?
Yeah, the flu game sold.
What was that one?
I think it was like, I'm guessing, I talked about the last show, I think it was around 1.5 million or something.
I'm going to say this will be less than that. This will be 750,000.
Yeah, 3 is right, but they're expecting 3 million or more.
Really? How is that more than the flu game?
I don't know.
I think that's crazy. I think that's wishful thinking.
Maybe so, but, you know, it's just that collectibles like this are just going for so much money now. We'll see. Bottom line, it's just money, money, money. Now, did you hear that Brady, for personal reasons, was not practicing with the team, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, I did.
Well, now the rumors come out that Brady is in The Masked Singer. So
really? Is that still taping?
They're insinuating that he's a contestant. Oh, yeah, no, Masked Singer's popular.
No, is it still taping? I mean, is it in season right now?
Yeah, from
That's
what I understand.
Interesting.
The new season, they'll tape now, but they'll show it later.
Right.
Right.
So it's going to be done before the football season?
Well, basically, the show won't air till September 21st. The taping wrapped on August 20th. But if you remember, up until the 20th, he was not going to camp. He had said for personal reasons. So this could very well figure to be that he was filming his, you know, his piece on The Masked Singer.
You think he's a good singer?
You know what? I have no idea. We'll find out and see. I mean, everybody's capable of singing, but at the same time, he probably locked down this deal when he retired before he agreed to go back. So that, you know, the group is saying, okay, fine, you're Tom Brady, go sing and then come back to the field.
I'm just wondering if that's the case, if the team was actually okay with it, because I mean,
he's Tom Brady.
I understand that. And if anybody can go without, you know, doing some practice and preseason games, it's going to be Tom Brady. But still, if I was a young kid on that team and I had other opportunities that I'm not, you know, taking advantage of because my loyalty is to my team, I'm going to be pissed off seeing the captain out there doing whatever he wants.
No argument. He's Tom Brady.
He is. And but he'd probably go on to sell platinum records at this point.
And he's as likable as Paulo Costa in football. I mean, has Tom ever caused an issue? So,
I mean, it depends on who you talk to.
Of course. Yeah. Belichick will deal with his opinion. All right, what Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady gets. We'll see if he's on The Masked Singer. We'll see if he wins. Now, Top Gun 2 has officially become the seventh highest grossing film ever domestically over Titanic.
I saw it.
And what do you think?
Amazing. And I was actually nervous, Bruce, because I had heard nothing but great things about it. So I was like, okay, are my expectations too high? No. It was a fantastic movie.
Absolutely agree. Well, TJ, that's it for me. What am I saying? Hold on. Jeez. Let's give Kamaru credit for getting in there and fighting, but let's give Leon amazing credit for doing something that basically most people think he's going to be able to do.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it was a tale of like two fights in a lot of ways because Edwards came out and had a very dominant first round, really set the tone, and then proceeded to drop every round after that. And then I think the end came at like 4:04, something like that, Bruce.
Yeah, like 55, 56 seconds left.
Yeah, so like we're talking about, you know, just 56 seconds away from another, you know, Kamaru Usman title defense, and we're going to be talking about how he might be the greatest of all time, and that was just turned upside down in insane fashion. And I hate this, Bruce. I hate when people say this, but every single time we see something sort of unexpected like this, the word lucky gets thrown around. There was nothing lucky about that head kick. It was set up with beautiful technique. It was a fake to the right, come over the top with the left. And was it unexpected? Yes. Was it likely? No. Was it lucky? Absolutely not.
No question. And, you know, it's even when I was kickboxing, you know, it's one of my favorite moves is keep throwing the jab, set them off. If they're moving to the left, as you bring that jab back, you bring the right leg up in a roundhouse from underneath. They don't see it and pop.
Right.
You know, very, very classic, very basic. And from what I understand, Leon's camp, they trained for that. They saw that kink in Kamaru's armor. They trained for it,
yep.
And he kept his head about him, losing a fight for 4 or 5 rounds, and boom, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
Deserves it.
No, 100%. Awesome. They got to do the rubber match right away, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I truly agree with that. Definitely yeah. Do the rubber match. God knows what's going through Kamaru's head these days, because he had the world by the tail, and not that he still doesn't have the world by the tail, but now there's a kink.
Yeah.
Now he's got to overcome it, and it just interrupted such a flow.
Yeah, you
such
know, I'm curious... I'm curious, and you having some combat sports experience yourself, maybe you can answer this. Would it be better for Usman to not remember that sequence? Because, I mean, he was clearly knocked unconscious. Would it be better for him to not even go back and look at it? Or should he spend time sort of absorbing what he did? And because, like you said, he was in such a groove. Like, I kind of feel like mentally he just needs to go back out there and continue doing what he was doing because he just got caught.
Well, he does, but he's also got to be aware of why he got caught, the reason he got caught, as painful as it is to look at it, because there's nothing more painful than looking at yourself on video, whether you're announcing or fighting or whatever. He's got to face the music and realize that keep your hands up, man. Don't ever slouch. 54, 56 seconds left. I'm not putting him down at all. He's great.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything wrong other than, like, if you said, if he had some tendency that Leon, you know, picked up on, obviously that was... something that he did poor, but the bottom line is he was pretty much flawless for the better part of three plus rounds. So
absolutely all the way around. So you know what, we're gonna see a rematch whenever that'll happen.
It's big rematch too. Like
it's gonna be a big rematch, and this was a big fight. I want to give credit to all the Salt Lake City fans, all the energy they brought in. TJ, they held the It's Time with me, which I held longer than I usually do.
Yeah.
In real time, it was I actually
bring the extra cardio tank there, Buff.
I was feeling really strong. Usually, in Mexico, I feel it in Mexico City. I felt it when I was announcing, and I'm not fighting; I'm just announcing.
Yeah.
I felt great. The whole evening, I was so pumped.
There was good energy. Great jacket, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, King and Bay. Yeah. At my King and Bay.
Yeah, but no. Getting back to Edwards and Usman 3. A lot of people forgot that this was a rematch already, but that rubber match is going to be huge. And I think a star was born in Leon Edwards. Not that he wasn't a star before, but, you know, he's in the history books forever now as a UFC champion. There haven't been too many English UFC champions, and the fact that he pulled it off in such dramatic fashion, can't take anything away from him. I can't wait for the rematch.
Which will be in England.
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be in England. Even Kamaru said he'll fight in London or England or whatever. Yeah. Leon wants to fight there. Dana's, you know, they're saying Wembley. We could probably fill it up. But again, we know the outdoor situation.
Energy there, Buffer. My goodness. It's going to be they might be an outdoor show whether they like it or not because they'll blow the roof off the place.
There's no question. And I'm going to try and make that roof blow off even more so. I can't wait for that fight. So lots of good things to look forward to. But especially Paris next week. Congratulations, Leon Kamaru. You're an amazing champion. You'll be back. There's no question. To whatever level you'll be back, you will be back. It's all about your headspace and how you handle it. But I think that knowing you the way I do, I think Kamaru is going to handle this very, very well.
Yeah,
very well.
I agree.
Next week, Tui Tuivasa, Ciryl Gane.
Tai Tuivasa. You keep saying Tai. Tui Tuivasa.
I always
hear you. I hear you. Tai. Yeah.
So Tai Tuivasa, bam, bam. Vettori and Whitaker, we already discussed that. You know, definitely going to be worth watching. There's just so many good fights here. Definitely a European card by all standards. There's a lot to happen. And I don't know if we're going to have a show next week because I leave for Paris on Tuesday. Chances are we may not. But if we do, we'll talk about it more so next week. Outside of that, TJ, I'm pretty much done. And is there anything you want to share with us before we go?
No, obviously this show is sort of in conjunction with my show, Extra Rounds, over on UFC Fight Pass. If people enjoyed your happy face here on Extra Rounds doing It's Time, hopefully they can all reach out and tell Fight Pass that they want more of it. We'll get some money in Buffer's pocket, and maybe we can bring more shows like this with more production value and things like that.
More money in my pocket. I kind of didn't hear anything else you said except for that. So whatever that means, I'm paying attention.
I know the magic words, Buffer.
Very good. Very good. What can I say? Money talks, Buffer walks. Okay. All good. So, third person. Did I just refer to myself in the third
person?
It's
okay. It's okay.
Okay. All right. TJ, have a great week. Great weekend. I just getting ready for Paris. Got a lot to take care of before then. Everybody out there, thank you for tuning in. As always, we love you and It's Time Radio, no matter where you're at in the world. Great to have Paulo on. Perfect example of what I love in a fighter, just being a good, good person and giving it their all when they step in that octagon. Just as I want everybody out there to give it your all when you step on that yellow brick road, make sure you know everything you want to know about your goals, have them written down, set them down so you're ready to go fulfill them. And when you step on that pathway, be the best you can be, whether you're number one champion, number 10, whatever, just be the best you can be because that means you're winning. And that's what it's all about. Be positive about yourself. Be proud of yourself. Love yourself. That way you can be proud and love everything around you and live a fulfilled life. As the saying goes, I appreciate you. Thank you. Talk to you next week or the week after. Meanwhile, I'll see you from Paris. Madame et messieurs, soon it's time. Buffer out.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.